Thank you so much for joining us for this week's message from Real Life Community, where we talk about connecting with God and others, growing in Christ-likeness, and sharing God's life with the world. My name is Sarah Comer, and I serve each week as Connections Pastor, making sure that you know that there is a God and a community that loves you and wants to go through the seasons of life with you. You can find us at reallifecommunity.org, and we would love to meet you on Facebook or Instagram. Until then, we hope this message meets you right where you are and helps you know just how deep the Father's love is for you.
It is exciting to be here. I tell you what, I look forward to being with the church on Sunday mornings. We can be the church together in other ways throughout the week, but we recognize that there's something special that happens when the people of God get together. The church is not an organization. Well, it is kind of, but first and foremost, it's not an organization. It's a people. It's you and me. It's the people that aren't here yet even. It's the people who have been here. It is all of this wrapped up together. And this morning, I look forward to sharing the word from the Lord out of James chapter 1. And I want to set the scripture up for you this way. God calls us to be holy. At the core of what it means to be in relationship with God is this call to be holy. Now, what does that mean, to be holy? You know, we could spend weeks on that one. But at the heart of it, holiness is to surrender one's life to God, that God might fill you, that God would fill you with all of God's fullness, that you would be completely set apart for the things of God, that there would be no part of you that is kind of held in reserve for your own needs, but it's all surrendered, consecrated, given over to God. It's like a full access pass that we give to God, recognizing that God could storm in and just take up the space, but we recognize that that's not who God is. God wants to be in relationship with you and I and every person you're going to come in contact with today and tomorrow and the next day. God is calling us to be holy, to be filled, to allow God to fill us. When God takes up residence in every area of our lives, we become controlled by the things of God because they are at work in us. When God is fully a part of our life, God is living through us and doing what God does best through us. We become vessels, ambassadors, bearers, those who carry not just the good news, but the good reality that God is God and has something to do in our lives. It's good news because people don't have to settle for the darkness of real life. They can settle for the light of real life. And it's all about God having full access to our lives. Which is very interesting for me to consider when, as I watch the news, I hear, I read articles, I see these things. One of the questions I have is this. If holiness is all about that, why is it that some people are so turned off by holiness? Why is it that some people struggle to even want to be with God because they have encountered holy people? It's a struggle for me. And I think that there's two reasons why people are going to struggle when they come in contact with holy people. One struggle is this. The holiness that sometimes we live out is more about us and our rules than God and his holiness. And there are times when we contort God's desire and God's plan, God's intentions, and it gets just kind of messy. I think there's another reason, though. Sometimes people have a hard time when they come in contact with holy people because, and Jesus is clear about this in Scripture, Jesus came to divide. And there are times when people are going to come in contact with holy people, and they are not going to like what they see because it's not what they are. The reflection that they see is of themselves, and it's like, ooh, that's not what they're living. But instead of surrendering to what God has done in their life and wants to do in that person's life, they find themselves trying to change the story to fit their own desires. Whatever the case may be, one of the things that you can control in your life and in your faith, which are not two separate things, they're one thing. You can control your relationship. Let me qualify this in a second. You can control your part in the relationship with God. But can I just say this also? Sometimes God's going to mess you up, and you're going to have no control. Not because you're out of control, but because you recognize that you want God in your life more than anything else. This is what we call holiness. So this morning, I want to go to some scripture, and I want you to follow me. But you know what? I intentionally did not put the scripture up on the screen today. I want to take you on a tour. So grab your Bible if you have that. If you have the book, grab that. If you do not have a Bible and you have a phone or an iPad or a computer, grab that. I would like to take those of you who are all about virtual reality, I would like to show you something that you can do. So go get your phone out. Yes, I'm telling you to get your phone out in church. Get your phone out. I don't hear too many people moving. Get your phone out. And I want you to go to your web browser, Safari, or I don't know what Android's deal is. What's theirs? Chrome. You know, there's some others out there that you can go to Chrome or Safari. And you're going to type in Bible.com. Bible.com. This is a great resource. They've actually got apps for this. You can go to the Apple Store or the Android Store? Google Store. See, you can tell which platform I like. And you can get an app for your phone or your iPad that will take you right to this. And in Bible.com, the Bible app has devotionals, has reading plans, and you can actually read the Bible on it. Imagine that. So you're going to find your way there, and you can click on Read. It's one of the options. On my phone, it's up in the top left-hand corner. Click on Read, and it will pop up this menu. It'll show you all of the books of the Bible. You click on the book that you want, in this case, James. And then it's going to show you all of the chapters in James, and you're going to click on the one that you want, which is 1. And you can, at that point, press up in the right-hand corner, Read, or you can then go to a specific verse in that next menu. And we're going to be reading out of James 1, 19 through 27, where we are reading about pure and genuine religion. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of time to get there, James 1. You're going to start in verse 19, James 1, 19. The word religion is a contentious word in our day because people feel like religion is all about the rules that sometimes gets messy and we get off on the wrong foot. But listen, we're going to listen here in a second. But hear me say this. Religion is the way you live out your faith. Now, what that religion looks like, we might have some conversations about that. But at its most foundational definition, religion is the way we live out our faith. So hear the word of the Lord today. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. How are we doing on that one? We good there? Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your soul. But don't just listen to God's word. Anyone ever guilty of that one? You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves, for if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. Now, that's absurd. Why would anyone do that? But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. This is the word of God for us today. When we think about this religion that James is talking about, we have to really consider something. The things that we do in response to our relationship with the Lord, do we do those because we have to or because we want to? And I think that there are some of us in here, and maybe now is your reality, but maybe this has been true in the past. What you've done, you have done because you were just told you've just got to do that and don't ask any questions. Well, the problem is when people really have deep questions, saying just do it just doesn't quite cut it. People want to know. And I have found that when people understand everything behind why we do what we do, it goes a lot further to helping them embrace that. You know, it's one thing for me to say to Jace, don't put your hand in the fire. Some of us would say, well, I'm going to put my hand in the fire if I want to. But if I say, Jace, don't put your hand into the fire because you will burn your hand and you will have a marred up hand that you don't want. It's not going to function the way you want it to. He might say, oh, well, that makes sense. I'm not going to put my hand in the fire. Not because Dad said I can't, because I don't want to. This is the same struggle we have in the way we live out our life. I had a conversation yesterday with a teenager who was at the track meet that I was at Siegel High School. And it was interesting. I love coaching young people because they can just be really honest, and that was the case yesterday. This teenager said to me, you know, Coach, I just hate the fact that my parents make me go to church. I said, okay. She said, I would rather them just let me do it on my own. I said, okay, I get that. I said, but let me ask you a question. I said, what if you knew that your parents had a great gift for you? You didn't know what it was. You didn't know the magnitude of it. You had no idea what it was. But they said, you know what? I want to give you a gift, but it's going to take some response on your part. And so I want you to follow me because I want to make sure that when you receive this gift, that you know what to do with it. I said, would you want your parents to give you that gift? Or would you want your parents to just kind of let you find that gift? She said, well, I guess I would want them to give me that gift. I said, I think you're right, which is exactly what your parents are doing for you right now. You may not like rolling out of bed. You may not like sitting in a service at times. But your parents know that you are going to receive a great gift because of them bringing you to church, even when you don't want to. Parents, that's why I love it when I hear of you standing your ground saying, you know what? We're going to church. We're going to be a part of that. My parents did that for me when I was growing up, and there were times where I just didn't want to go to church, and I was the pastor's kid, which may have been the problem. But I showed up, and I'm so glad that I showed up every one of those times, even though I didn't get to choose, but because every time I went, the faith rubbed off on me. And that faith rubbing off on me has made me into the person I am today. I probably would have had an issue with my parents had they said, you know what, it is up to you. Come when you want to. I would have had an issue with them today. But our struggle has always been between the things that we have to do and the things that we want to do. What is it about caring for orphans and widows in their distress? Is it just orphans and widows that we are supposed to take care of? I mean, that's what Scripture says. It doesn't say that I'm supposed to take care of anyone else in their distress. Is it just them? No, it's other people. But what is it about orphans and widows in their distress? This has everything to do with us being a people who recognize the needs of others, which means we have eyes to see and ears to hear of the need of those around us. Obviously, those who have been widowed all of a sudden find themselves without their best friend, the one that they lived life with. And to find themselves alone is exactly why the church needs to be the people who says, you know what? We're not going to let you be alone because you are a part of us. But we have to have eyes to see that and ears to hear it. And what about orphans? Obviously, orphans need someone who's going to come along and help them in the midst of their distress. They have no parents. They have no comfort. They have no place to call home. And they need someone who has eyes to see them and ears to hear them and is willing to do something about what they encounter. You see, this passage of Scripture is talking about us being a people of compassion for all people, not just for orphans and widows, but for all people. I picked the picture that is on this screen today because I want you to recognize that you have been called to be a bridge. There are people who need to encounter God, but they have no avenue in which to receive a good image and a good understanding of this God who loves them. You get to be a bridge. And that bridge is about being a people of compassion. A people of compassion sees people. They hear people. They recognize needs. They respond to the Holy Spirit prompting them, saying, hey, you might want to check on that person. They might need to hear a word from someone. They might need to know that they are cared for. So what is it about refusing to let the world corrupt you? You know, as I study Scripture, especially this passage, we have this section on being compassionate, which is followed by this passage on not being corrupted, which I find to be an interesting, you know, two pieces to go together. But I think they go together in part for this reason. They go together because when the world corrupts us, it turns our vision that's looking for people and our ears attuned to people, and it's turning it on ourselves. To be corrupted is to listen and to buy into the message of this world more than the message of God. We find ourselves in a world where everyone is fighting for their own rights, their own desires, their own ways. But God has said, no, wait, let me remind you. My people are focused on meeting the needs of others. The people of this world are all about meeting the needs of themselves. Think this one through. If everyone in this room were to look out for their own desires, their own whims, their own things, how would we ever find ways to come together and meet around a common goal and a common mission, one God? It would be extremely difficult, wouldn't it? You know, if I'm looking out for me and Gary's looking out for him, if Stacy's looking out for herself, if the Canaries are doing their own thing, and all these other people, we're all looking out for our own thing, how do we ever actually come together? We don't, which is exactly the problem we have in our country today. We have lost the ability to be a people of compassion that recognizes that sometimes my way is not the most important way. That sometimes the needs of the other far outweigh my own needs. That's where James is trying to take us here. He says, be compassionate. Take care of orphans and widows. I think that if he had time and space, he probably would have added a few more people to that list. But he is saying, be a people of compassion for all people. Even the ones that you don't agree with. Even the ones that you don't get along with. Even the ones you can't stand. Even the ones that you can't stand. But he is saying, let us be a people. If anyone should be doing this, it should be my people, God says. We should be the people who are bridging the gap so that people can find Jesus. But also, so that their needs can be met. Now, that's a whole nother message. And it's a touchy one. But you realize that you have been blessed in amazing ways. You, in this room, are people who stand at the top of the food chain when it comes to having resources at your disposal. If you were to lay out all of the people in the world, I guarantee you those of us in this room are at the top. Right. We have resources to give. But how do we do that? How do we meet the needs of orphans when we don't even understand what it means to be an orphan? Unless you were an orphan. What does it mean to help the widows when we haven't been a widow? Unless you are a widow. What does it mean to be homeless or to be the stranger or to be, what does it mean to be that? Sometimes we don't know, but can I tell you, there is a way that the people of God can know what it means to help those who are finding themselves in their distress. And we find it in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, one of my favorite scriptures throughout the Bible, and it's this. When he came to the village of Nazareth, Jesus, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scrolls and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. They began to speak to him, and he said, "The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day." How do you be the people who can build the bridges that you never thought possible? It's because the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And you are being anointed to go and make a difference. I would say probably the most important difference you need to make is is introducing people to Jesus. And I hope that you lead in that conversation, you lead with your life. That you not lead with words that are not backed up with your life. But we need to be a people who allow the Spirit of God to anoint us for the purposes of God. And that we not argue with God about the things that God wants us to do. Let us be a people whose word is yes above all else. Yes above all else. Can you today say that you are being moved by the Spirit of God in your life? Or is it something else? Is it something else? Can you today say that the scriptures are being fulfilled through you? Do you understand what's at stake in your life? That you are precious to God because of who you are. And because of that, God wants to use you to bless the most, I'm trying to see if this word even works, the most blessless. Will you surrender the comfort of your life to be a bridge for all people? Especially the orphan, the widow, the homeless, the stranger, all of these things. Don't let the church do the work for you. Let it happen in your life. I wonder, this week, what God might want to do in your life. I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes. I want us to look and think about the people that we have encountered this week. Has our response been one of compassion? Compassion that is compelled in us because we are allowing God full residence in our life. Is there anything in your life that you are saying, God, everything but this part? Can I say, stop fighting God? Surrender. It's the best thing you could ever do. Turn yourself over to God. And let God use you as a tool for his kingdom. I want us to pray real quick here, but not too quick. I want us to think about that song, about being available. Can you today say, Lord, I shoot my hand up in the air and say, I am available. God, use me. As you would open a door into someone's life this week. Help me walk through it. Help me have eyes to see and ears to hear the people around me. Even maybe I'm eating lunch and the conversation is happening and you hear about despair and you kind of butt your way into that conversation and say, hey, I'm sorry that I was eavesdropping, not really, but can I just tell you about a Jesus who loves you? Will you be available? Not just in response to a message, but will your whole life be available to God for God's purposes? Oh. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would just put your finger on those things in our lives that are barriers between us and you. Oh, Jesus, I pray that there would be no way that we can hold you at bay. Lord, that you, Lord, I just give you permission to be overbearing in my life. I give you permission to just infiltrate my life and invade my life. God, I pray that you give me strength and a willing heart to give myself over to you. God, set me apart for your purposes. Sanctify me for what you want to do in this world. May I be your partner in life and ministry. Jesus, use me. Church, you pray that prayer. What is your prayer to God right now? What does it look like? What does that sound like? Say it to him. Be honest with God. Jesus, don't let us give up on this. Don't let us walk out of this room in just a few moments and tuck this message away as a nice message. God, I just pray that you ride us right out that door and you don't give up. Don't give up on us, God. Lord Jesus, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Church, stand with me. And I want to give you this blessing. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon you, for he has anointed you to bring good news to the poor. He has sent you to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Until we meet again, be that people, be blessed, and be a blessing.
Thank you for joining us today. We would love for you to join us in person. Our address is 2022 East Main Street in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. If you'd like to make a donation to keep our podcast ministry going, you can do so online at reallifecommunity.org/give. Thanks again for listening.